Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the etiquettes of travel, and under the etiquettes of travel we started a chapter on the etiquette of traveling, stopping, spending the night, the desirability of being kind to animals, seeing to their needs, and to order those that are deficient in fulfilling the rights of animals to fulfill the rights of animals. And then the permissibility of two people sitting on an animal, provided that animal is able to bear the weight. So what we are learning also from this chapter is the rights that Allah Ta'ala and Deen has given to animals. So via Deen, Allah Ta'ala has given rights even to animals. So this is the beauty of Islam, that أَعْطِي كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقًّا, that give every person his right, that is the sum of good character. That every person you give the due right. Father has a due right, mother has a due right, the neighbors have their rights, the workers have their rights, people around us, musallis, have their rights, every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has got a right, to such an extent that even our own bodies got rights. And here what we see also is animals also got rights in Islam. So therefore Islam is taking care of rights of everyone else. This world we are living in, everything is about my rights. And Islam teaches us fulfillment of rights. Fulfill the rights of others. Don't worry about our rights. We are worried about the obligations we have to other people. That is what our focus should be. If our rights get trampled upon, we are taught to make maaf and to forgive. That's not the primary focus. Primary focus is all the duties and obligations and responsibilities I have to other people. Am I fulfilling that responsibility? So today's hadith, an Abi Sa'alaba al-Khushani رضي الله عنه قال كان الناس إذا نزلوا منزلا تفرقوا في الشعاب والأودية فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن تفرقكم في هذه الشعاب والأودية إنما ذلكم من الشيطان فلم ينزلوا بعد ذلك منزلا إلا انضم بعضهم إلى بعض رواه أبو داود بإسناد حسن. هذا أبو ثعلبة الخشني رضي الله عنه narrates that when the people used to stop over at a place, they would disperse into the passes and the valleys. In other words, the jamaat that is moving, and they would stop over for the night, then they would spread out. Some satis will go into the valleys, some will go into the other areas, the passes, for a nice spot to put their place, so that they can camp and they can rest for the night. The jamaat wasn't sleeping together. The jamaat was dispersing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they're moving now, they stopped at the space. Each party person is going different places to find a place to stop and to rest. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that this dispersing of yours into passes and to valleys is actually from shaitan. Thereafter, whenever the sahaba would stop over at a place, they would remain together. The whole jamaat would remain together. Ulama explained that when companions on a journey are staying together, then if they need to assist one another, it becomes very easy. If there is any outside attack that comes and the jamaat is together, then that to ward off that attack also becomes easy. If there is a need for them to leave quickly for whatever reason, or to leave at some point and at some time, it's very easy when they are all together. So therefore you find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even after Hajjatul Wada, after he made Hajj, that he gathered at one spot, spent the night there at Wadi Muhassab, at a place called Muhassab. They all gathered, they spent the night there, and then the next morning they left. Ulama explained the reason they did that was when you're moving with a big jamaat, especially like Hajj, and now everyone wants to leave together. If you don't gather at one spot, it becomes very hard. Some people will get left, some people... So therefore you find, even when the jamaat are leaving, etc., they say leave from the markaz or leave from the masjid. So it becomes very easy. If everyone leaves from their own place, then it's likely that some people will get left, some people will make it. Anyway, this hadith is teaching us that on travel, when a jamaat is moving, when the companions are going together, then also they should sleep together. It's, in other words, try and sleep in one area, one place. Don't disperse too far out. One more hadith will do. عن سهل بن عمرو وقيل سهل بن الربيع سهل بن الربيع بن عمرو الأنصاري المعروف بابن الحنظرية وهو من أهل بيعة الرضوان قال مر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ببعير قد لحق ظهره ببطنه فقال اتقوا الله في هذه البهائم المعجمة فَرْكَبُوهَا صَالِحَةً وَكُلُوهَا صَالِحَةً رَوَاهُ أَبُو دَاوُدْ بِإِسْنَادٍ صَحِيحٍ. Hazrat Sahl ibn Amr al-Ansari, he was popularly known as Ibn al-Hanzaliyah. So popularly the Sahabi was known as Ibn al-Hanzaliyah, who was from amongst those present for the Bay'atul Ridwan. He is the narrator of this hadith. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a camel whose back was sticking into his stomach. In other words, this camel was so lean and so thin that as though its stomach and its back were together. So thin it was. In other words, the owner was not feeding it, was not taking care of it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commented and he said this on this occasion, that fear Allah with regard to these animals that cannot speak. Dumb animals, you know what I mean? These animals cannot speak. Fear Allah ta'ala with regards to these animals that are dumb. Ride them in a good condition and eat them in a good condition. Ulama explained that animals are also the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have souls like how human beings have souls. Animals also have souls. They can perceive pain. They experience starvation just like human beings. But they cannot express their feelings. The only difference they are to human beings is animals are unable to express themselves. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, fear Allah with regards to these animals. They are unable to express themselves. So therefore, don't abuse them. Doesn't mean they can't speak and they can't explain what they're feeling. Don't abuse them. In other words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that a Muslim should be merciful to them. It is incorrect to deprive them of food and to overwork them. On the day of Qiyamah, a person will be questioned regarding his treatment of animals also. On the day of Qiyamah, how we treated animals also Allah Ta'ala will question us with regards to this. When animals have been given so much of rights in Islam, can you imagine our servants and our workers to a greater extent how much we should look after their rights? And we should not overburden them. In one hadith in Bukhari Sharif it is mentioned that do not burden them, talking about our servants and people that are working for us, our slaves, etc. Do not burden them with that which will overcome them. If you do give them work which overpowers them, then assist them. So therefore we thought we must always be careful as far as others are concerned, that we may be in a strong position but we should not abuse those. Like animals also can't express themselves. Human beings also sometimes because of a job position, they're unable to express themselves, but they're experiencing some difficulty. This is not what Islam wants. We should all be good and kind to people around us, even animals. And the second part of the hadith says that فَرْكَبُوهَا صَالِحَةً وَكُلُوهَا صَالِحَةً, that ride them in a good condition and eat them also in a good condition. What this means, ride them in a good condition, means that do not be inhumane to them. Firstly, do not be inhumane to them, be good to them, be kind to them, ensure that the animal is healthy. And the second part of it, ulama explained, is that when you're slaughtering an animal, وَكُلُوهَا صَالِحَةً, eat it when it's in a good condition. When you're slaughtering an animal, slaughter it also in a humane way, in a way that it lays sharp, it's not exposed to other animals being slaughtered, etc. And the second thing that ulama point take out from here, وَكُلُوهَا صَالِحَةً, eat it in a good way, means that an animal also you're eating, make sure that's a healthy animal. It's not a lean animal, it's not a sick animal. Eat it in a good way means that eat that animal that is good. Because if you eat something that is healthy, your body also will be healthy. You are what you eat. So therefore, when you're even eating an animal, ensure that you're eating a healthy animal. This is what Shariat is teaching us about our health also, teaching us about our respect and our treatment of animals, just respect the treatment of people. So many things are put together in our Shariat. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Allah Ta'ala make it such that we are able to fulfill the rights of every person and every being. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.